Chapter 13. A New Order. Vangarich stood up from the high table and raised his hands.
My lords and ladies of the Adeptus Terra, he proclaimed.
His amplified voice boomed through a great chamber packed to capacity. Every tier of seating was full. Where the chairs had been removed, men and women stood. He looked up to a sea of expectant faces.
I am pleased today to address you as the new Lord Protector of Terra.
The chamber erupted in uproarious cheers. Vangarich basked in them before silencing the crowd with a downward wave of his hands.
Thank you for your approval. It is some time since this council has been so fortunate as to reign with the full backing of the estates of the Imperium. We are here before you with a new High 12. Sadly, our lords of the Adeptus Astrotelepathica and the Astronomicon have retired from public life, the psychic strain of the beast having proved too much for even their powerful minds to encompass safely. The losses of this war have been grave, and they continue still. I ask you to join with us in memoriam for Joskina Tull, whose bravery and faith in calling the proletarian crusade brought Terra many valuable hours before the arrival of the last wall could deal with the Orc moon orbiting the throne world. Lady Tull has taken her own life. She believed herself a failure, but we shall remember her as a valiant heroine. The changes go further, my friends, as you can see from the people arrayed at this table with me here. You will notice the Grand Provost Marshal of the Adeptus Arbites, Werner Zeck, has also gone. He has relinquished his post on the Council to better aid the reconstruction efforts of the Imperium. Lansung and Veriult are no more, he became theatrically solemn. I was due to instigate an investigation into their affairs. Already, the Adeptus Fiducius have uncovered grave irregularities in Lansung's accounting for the running of the Imperial fleet. At this stage, we can only assume he argued with his partner in these crimes, Abel Veriult, who will forever be known for his sluggish response to the Orcish threat. And after an argument, they killed each other.
Hush greeted this announcement.
And so allow me to introduce the new High 12 of the High Lords of the Senatorum Imperialis.
He held out his hand to a man on his right, a balding, square-set fellow whose face was crossed with a livid purple scar.
Oscar Lois, new Lord Commander Militant of the Astra Militarum.
He indicated a woman next to Lois.
Iris Gelthor, recently Segmentum Commander of the Obscurus Fleet, now Lord High Admiral. We all know Hector Rosarind, whose position as Lord of the Imperial Estates will be invaluable at this time of reconstruction. Lady Venand remains as Inquisitorial Representative.
He smiled at Venand. She glared stonily back at him, making no attempt to hide her feelings about Vangarich's performance. Doubtless she would challenge him as to whether anyone in the chamber believed what he was saying. Some would, the rest would not care. She didn't understand people like he did. They didn't care about intrigue or the truth. They cared about their own positions, knowing that they were ruled and that they could continue with their petty power games unmolested.
Fabricator General Kubik returns to us from his forges on Mars, he said. Master of the Administratum, Tobris Eckarth, thankfully returns also, he went on, bowing slightly to the assassin who wore Eckarth's face. The Paternova of the Navis Nobilitae has blessed us with a new envoy, Dovrian Ofar. In recognition of her service in the defence of Terra, Arbitrator Haas joins us as Zek's deputy. Henceforth she will be addressed as Lady Speaker for the Grand Provost Marshal.
Vangarich had his doubts about Haas, but she was popular with the masses. There were demands that she should be sainted, and he could use that. He went through the remaining pair. First was Ecclesiarch Ostulus, called in from the other side of the galaxy. He was sufficiently humble at his elevation to actually take his role seriously, and divorced enough from the politics of Terra to be easily manipulated. Vangarich could not risk telepaths upon the High 12, and so neither the Adeptus Astrotelepathica nor the Astronomicon had retained their seats. Instead, He gestured to the last figure at the table, a mountain of muscle and armour, capped with a tall helm.
Captain General Bayreuth of the Adeptus Custodes, the first time his august brotherhood have had a say in the government of Terra. It is only fitting that it should be so, he said emphatically.
Thunderous applause greeted the announcement. Vangorich suppressed a smile. He could get used to this.
Alas, there is much that needs to be done. I will not bore you, lords and ladies, with the terrible labours we of the High 12 must endure. You have your own adepta and officios to run, the correct functioning of which is of inestimable importance to the recovery of the Imperium. We shall therefore be submitting a broad plan of reconstruction, reconquest, and reconsolidation of our devising.
By that, Vangorich meant his devising,
to you for approval. Then let us shoulder the numbing detail. For the next 18 months, the Senatorum will not meet in full session, as we have become accustomed to again recently. But rest assured, this is purely an emergency measure. As soon as the damage is put right, then the Great Chamber will resonate to the voice of democracy again.
This was less enthusiastically greeted. Most of the crowds cheered, but a proportion did not. Knots of people were debating, gesturing at the high table. These were the seeds of rebellion. It was the time to drive the reality of his power home. Vangorich sent a subvocal signal to his assets.
My lords and ladies, a further change, and then we must begin the serious efforts of debate and voting. The Lucifer Blacks, who so faithfully served this house since the time of the heresy, have been disbanded.
Outright shock greeted this pronouncement. Vangorich ploughed on regardless.
Their time of glory is past. Their inability to stop the Eldar before the warriors of Captain General Bayreuth were forced to step in was inexcusable. It is the nature of institutions to outlive their usefulness, he said pointedly. Let us remember them for the heroes they were, and not the faded sentries they had become. Security for this house and the Imperial Palace shall now rest with the Officio Assassinorum, he shouted.
As he did, 300 assassins stepped out into the balconies around the hall. Faceless in their combat masks, armed with exotic weapons, they had exactly the effect Vangorich anticipated. Everyone looked. Few people spoke.
I declare this first session of the new Senatorum Imperialis open.
He stared fully into the stony, disapproving face of Rogel Dorn.
Let the Emperor and his Primarchs look favourably on all we shall achieve.
The Cerebrium was mercifully quiet. Outside its many windows, the life of Terra went on as it had since the ascension of the Emperor. But something fundamental had changed, and Vangorich was its architect. He needed time to think, but he wasn't about to get it. Beast Krul was sitting behind Vangorich's new desk, Werner Zech's lifeless head in front of him. Krul had his fingers laced above the head, his hands obscuring much of his own face. Krul's eyes were unfriendly, that much was apparent.
Krul, what are you doing sitting in the dark there?
I brought Zech's head. My mission is accomplished, Grandmaster, he said.
Vangorich shook his head and grimaced.
You are a fine fighter, Beast, but you don't hide your opinions. You know it's that sort of truculence that had you recommended for Temple Venenum's close combat school. I can't imagine you quietly poisoning feasts. Can you?
Vangorich approached slowly. Krul didn't move from Vangorich's seat, but watched him with glittering eyes.
I listened to your speech, said Krul.
Oh, said Vangorich.
He went to a drinks cabinet and poured himself a glass of brandy. The miniature augurs embedded in his rings sampled the vapour coming off the liquid. They did this automatically over everything he ate or drank, even though the Grand Master prepared all his food himself.
Do you think any of them actually believed that? Said Krul.
No. It doesn't matter, though.
And those creatures of yours, on the Council?
I'd hardly call Bayreuth a creature. Come on, Krul. I'm rather proud he agreed to join. Convincing Bayreuth was a monumental effort. The custodes swore some time ago to remain detached from any duty beyond the guarding of the Emperor's mortal remains. I had to visit him 5 times and say the words Eldar before the Eternal Gate over and over again before he agreed to take the seat.
He replaced the decanter in the cabinet.
Do you want a drink? He asked.
Assassins all over the palace. Every man will know himself watched, said Krul.
They've always been there. They're just in the open. They're a safeguard.
But now the people know they're there. That's a different sort of safeguard. That's a threat.
So you don't want a drink?
Fine. Vangerich dropped into a large chair.
Do stop speaking so slowly. It's a sign you're thinking, and right now I wouldn't advise too much of that.
Krul looked around the room, never completely taking his eyes off the Grand Master. The table that had accommodated the High 12 had been removed, and much of the furniture replaced.
This is a fine place to run an empire from. Not showy. Modest. You'd never think a tyrant worked here.
I'm a man of simple taste, said Vangerich testily. Krul, I know why you're here.
You don't trust me.
Of which this little display is ample proof that I was right not to, said Vangerich, waving his glass towards Krul.
He calmed.
I thought that if you weren't too heavily involved, it'd be too late for you to think about it and you'd fall into line. Evidently that didn't work.
So this is a small falling out. Don't patronise me, Grandmaster. When people lose your trust, they die. Can I trust you not to kill me?
That all depends on what you do next, he set his drink down. It's your move, Krul, as the old cliché goes.
You're the one playing regicide. You've killed a number of kings. But there's one left. You.
Krul stood.
This isn't going to be easy for me. You are the closest thing I ever had to a father. You should have trusted me. If you had explained yourself, I might have seen it from your side.
Krul cracked his knuckles and his neck and took up a fighting stance.
You wouldn't, said Vangerich softly.
He too stood up.
No, I wouldn't. You know me better than most, but I know you too. The worst of this is that you know what you've done is wrong.
What would you have done? Said Vangerich.
Reform. Reorganization. Not this.
What do you know of politics?
Enough.
Krul,
my name is Esad Wire, snarled Krul.
Vangerich shook his head.
It's not. It never has been. The one thing you are and will ever be is Beast Krul. From the moment they brought you to Temple Venenum, you were Krul. Esad Wire is a dead man, an illusion. Strip away the pretense and all that is left is a killer. I am very proud of what you are, Krul. You are the best I have.
Vangerich undid his robes. Underneath was the same design of close-fitting suit he'd been wearing for years.
These robes are ridiculous, Venan tried to tell me. She was right.
He folded them and put them upon the chair.
I mean, they are very silly to look at and don't capture what I wanted in the slightest. But the worst of it is that they're no good for fighting in.
Vangerich's age was indeterminate. Sometimes he appeared of middle years, at other times old. But he did not move like an old man. He bounded over the seat at Krul, drawing a slender-nosed pistol from nowhere. Krul dodged the first shots. Frozen toxin slivers shattered on the wooden panelling.
You're slow,
Krul said, as Vangerich landed on the other side of the room.
I was once the best of the Venenum assassins. I always wanted to test myself against you.
You'll fall short, said Krul. I'm going to kill you.
He charged at Vangerich. His sense of time slowed by deeply implanted devices, he dodged the hypertoxin spat out by the Grandmaster's needler. Vangerich dropped his gun. Slapping Krul's fists aside, he bent his body around the blows and moved back. Krul followed.
You are one of the best. The very best, said Vangerich. This is madness. Stop. Join me.
I am the best. You can't beat me, said Krul.
I won't have to, said Vangerich.
He sidestepped Krul's blurring fists again.
Pelagic gambit, he said.
Krul stumbled. He shook his head. Vangerich delivered a devastating blow to the nerve cluster at the base of his neck. Krul spluttered and staggered to the side.
Ordinance keystroke, said Vangerich.
With a yelp of pain, Krul crashed to the floor, his muscles locked solid. He balanced on his head, knee and outstretched fist, stiff as a statue that had fallen from its plinth.
"That's enough," said Vangorich. "Among your implants is a failsafe system. Obviously, I activated it. The key to regicide is to plan several moves ahead."
He crouched down by Krul's head. The assassin's eyes were locked open and watering furiously. He made a strangled noise through clamped teeth.
"It would be a shame to waste you," continued Vangorich. "I preferred you as a free thinker, Krul. You served Venenum well that way. But there is another temple that will make good use of your talents, and which does not require that characteristic. You're going to have a little sleep. When you wake up again, we'll have nothing to disagree about ever again. I promise."